He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
So before I read my report, I want to read our gospel lesson for today. Our gospel lesson is Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, the walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day being Easter Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all of these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other?" They stood looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and they told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish are you, and how slow of heart you are to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the things about himself in the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking with him on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of our Lord. So today is our annual meeting. We had talked earlier about all of the reports that were given and hearing from different leaders within the congregation. And so it's at this point I'll read my report to the church. And after I go through it, I'll talk a little bit about the gospel passage, because have you ever had those times when you're working on something and you're working on something else and you know when both of it is, but you didn't realize it was the same time? So I knew when annual report would be, and I knew when I was going to be using this gospel passage, but I didn't put it together that they were the same time. And I ended up realizing it not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago, and I was really happy when I did, because I think this passage pairs really well with my hope for the church. And so I'll talk about that a little bit. But so today I want to take a minute and read to you and I might not read it word for word, but I might ad-lib a few things here and there, but I want to give you my report to the church. This has been an interesting year for Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. You all have spent a significant amount of time in prayer and in discernment, especially for who you would call to be your next pastor. It has been my honor and my privilege to serve as your pastor for these last few months, and I am excited about the days to come. I'm looking forward to our journey as we continue together. Jeff Barker once told me in college that taking on a church is kind of odd because the church is a family, and it's like a family reunion, and you're called to be the DJ for it. And so you're called to be the MC for this family reunion, yet you end up becoming a part of the family at some point. And I know it's only been a short while, but for me, this really has been like becoming a part of a new family. And with that, you know, being a part of the family means that there will be good days. And I wish this was otherwise, but there will be bad days. It's my hope that we as a church can continue to learn what it means to be in community, both with each other and in the community around us, and that we support each other as we journey through life together. And I know myself well enough to know that I will make mistakes in my ministry. There will be times where I will probably upset a few of you, if not all of you at times. But it's my hope that when we upset each other, that we continue to journey together, and that when we are excited with each other and ecstatic with each other, that we can rejoice together, because that's part of what being a family is. It's the good and the bad. I'm hoping for much more good, though, and that's what I'm planning on. Since I am a brand new pastor and I've never before written one of these reports, I'm asking in advance for your forgiveness and for your grace. For those of you that were here for the Sunday school meeting, you will realize that I need a lot of grace because I am indeed learning. There's a lot of this stuff that I've never had to do, so I appreciate the grace that you all extend to me. But in this report, there's a few things that I'd like to share. A few things that I see going on that make me extremely proud. And I also want to share a few things that I would like to see us as we continue moving forward. And at the end, I would also like to share my hope, and that hope will kind of transition into the short message. So earlier in this week, I ended up getting a message from a pastor. He and I have no mutual friends in common, which was really shocking because we're both Nazarene pastors. And within the Nazarene church, you're only one degree of separation away from anybody. But as far as I could tell, we didn't have any friends in common. But he sent me a message where he asked me how we got our video recording services to be so good. He was astounded by how well our video feed is. And he was like, this looks like a professional television show that would be put on. And I'd mentioned how, you know, we do run our service through the cable access and how it's really cool that we're able to do this. And he messaged me because he was intrigued at the possibility of reaching his own community in a similar manner, about being able to broadcast their services online and in the community so that others could get to know them without feeling pressured. And so it was really cool to have this pastor that I don't know message me and say, man, your church is doing something right. Like, good job. I also have friends who will weekly watch the service, or they'll listen to the podcast. And they are thankful for you all. They're growing due to your faithfulness in this regards. And you all continue to be in their prayers. I have a few friends where they ask me almost every week, How can we be praying for your church this week, Brent? And so you all are being prayed for. And so if we look around this room, it's not an overcrowded room. We're not, you know, people aren't cramming in, but we're reaching more people than we realize. We're reaching people in the community. We're reaching people all over the world who will watch in or will listen. As a pastor, I don't always get to listen to sermons because I tend to be the one preaching sermons. And so I will often listen to my friend's sermons, and it helps me to grow. And because of our video services and our podcasting, I have a number of friends that are pastors that are saying, thank you, Cape Elizabeth Church, because now I'm being ministered to. You know, that they're being ministered through you all. So thank you for inviting others to be a part of our community, even if we don't always see them. Speaking of inviting others to be a part of who we are, man, I brag about this all the time. I am abundantly happy with the conversations that I overhear. Within the last few months, I've heard and I've had conversations with different ones of you that have talked about that we need to be a place that is welcoming to all people at the table. A couple months ago, Tommy said, when those doors are open, Pastor. And man, that has stuck with me. Because when those doors are open, they're not just open to us. They're open to anybody in the community. That we are people that say, you are welcomed here, and this is a place of grace, and that we want to journey through life together. That we want to figure out what it means to be on this walk as disciples together. So thank you, church, for your faithfulness and your belief in grace. There are a lot of churches that talk about believing in grace, but I'm thankful to constantly see it being lived out with, when the doors are open, the doors are open. In the upcoming days, we will interact with the community. You know, we're not only inviting them to come through our doors, we're also seeking to go out to them. So some of the things that we'll do is we'll go to a Sea Dogs game, and we'll watch baseball, and we'll eat food, and we'll hang out with people. And that's some of the best way to do ministry, is to just be present with people. To not try to force them to do anything, to not say, oh, you've got to come here and meet us here. But instead, we'll meet you there. We also have Cape Family Fun Day coming up and a yard sale. And these are all ways to continue to reach out to our community. It's my hope that we find ways to be a part of the lives of those around us. Just last night, one of my neighbors knocked on my door and woke me up from a nap to say, hey, we're going to have a barbecue in a little bit. Going to have a lot of people from the neighborhood. Feel free to come over. And it's little things like that that we can do, is to just be a part of our neighborhoods and minister to those around us. One of the ways that we as a church communally have been doing this is through the partnerships and connections with other churches in the area. During the season of Lent, we joined with some of the United Methodist churches, and we went through the season of Lent together. And of course, our partnership with the South Portland Church of the Nazarene, they have been such a blessing to us. I know for you all, when you all were still in the transition period and they were serving as pulpit supply and they were serving as ministers and helping to lead the church, not that they were here to be the Savior, but that they were here to be a big brother or a big sister to us and say, hey, yeah, we want to see you guys succeed. We're going to come along beside you. And I know I'm personally am thankful for them, as they have as they have been friends to me, and as I have been in small group with them, and I bug Tim Brooks probably about once a week with something, and so there's no sibling rivalry. We're just siblings. And so we are thankful for them and for our Nazarene brothers and sisters who have worshiped with us and supported us. I encourage you to continue thinking of ways that we can reach out to the community around us. We've been given a gift from a local foundation for a few years now to use towards outreach. They've said, here's some money. Help make a difference in the community. So I would love to hear what's been laid on your heart as to how we can serve our community and how we can serve our neighbors. One of the areas that I've talked to the board about frequently that has been on my heart and mind is the local art community that surrounds us. It seems almost every time I'm out walking that I meet somebody either painting or photographing or doing something. I was over at the Portland Headlight a few weeks ago exploring the rocks, and this lady was taking a number of rocks and making little statues out of them and taking pictures, and it just reminded me of how much art is taking place around us, and that I would love to make those connections, and I would love to see how we can minister to those people and how they can minister to us. I invite you to think creatively of how we can minister to others and how we can have them minister to us. I want to thank you all for allowing me to bring new pieces into our gathered worship. I know there's a few things that we likely do differently than was done before. And so I thank you for that. You know, not only the things on Sunday morning, but even for different holy days and events such as Shrove Tuesday, for celebrating this day in the church year that not many people know about, but a day that we could come together and eat pancakes and eat a bunch of fatty food so that we could fast for Lent. Your willingness to embrace new things has been encouraging to me. And I think that we've been growing and connecting, especially to the larger tradition of our faith that surrounds us. As proud as I am to be a Nazarene, I'm often reminded that the Nazarene church is not the church whole. We're part of a larger body. And in many ways, we're able to do things that connect us all over. I remember right around Christmas time, one of you all told me, yeah, I saw Pope Francis give his midnight mass, and the translators, when they were translating before they had communion, he basically said the same thing you say every week. And how cool it was that there was this connection that, you know, we're saying the same thing so many others are saying around the world, and that we're connected to Christianity globally while also being our individual selves here at the church. In today's gospel lesson, we see that the disciples come to know Jesus through the means of word and table, through preaching and communion. Throughout church history, the service has often been where the people are gathered, then they hear the word, then they come to the table to be sent out into the world. And part of that comes from this passage where we see Jesus doing, in the Greek it says homileo, which is where we get the word homiletics, which means preaching. Jesus is giving them the word, and then he gives them communion, and that's when they realize who he is. It's my hope that we continue to gather in a way that our words and our coming together at the table are a means of grace. We gather together to hear the words and to partake in the table in the hopes that we too might encounter the risen Christ. My hope for us, Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene, is that we continue to be a beacon of hope and holiness to the greater Portland area. It is my prayer that we continue to spread the good news of the resurrected Christ and that we invite others to receive his grace as we receive his grace around the table. I pray that the peace of Christ be with us throughout this upcoming year on the journey with you, Pastor Brent. That took a little bit longer than I thought it would, mainly because I ad-libbed a bunch of it throughout. But I think today's gospel passage really sets us up well for where I hope that we go throughout this next year. On the cover of the packet are the words, "Meeting Christ through word and table." It really is my prayer that we be a people that are people of the word and people of the table. And not just me that comes up and preach and administers the Eucharist, but that you all would as well go out and show the risen Christ to people through your words, through your hospitality, and also through the table, that we invite people to eat with us. Like I had mentioned last night, some of my neighbors had a barbecue, and we had a number of families from around the neighborhood that hung out right near my backyard. And all we did was eat and talk and make jokes. But now I know a few more of my neighbors. I know their kids. Some of them, I finally remembered what their names were. And that's part of what it means to gather around the table. We've talked about this before. Relationships are built at the table. For those of you that were at the installation service back in November, Jeff Barker said that he would break me over the table if I did not come to the table the way that we're supposed to come to it, which is in hopes of community, which is in hopes of meeting Christ. That we come to the table in grace, knowing that none of us deserve the table, but that Christ willingly breaks the bread and hands it to us and says, "Here, take and eat." So I pray that throughout this upcoming year, that we be a people that boldly proclaim, "I have seen the risen Christ." And I pray that we are people that say, "Hey, there's room at this table." And if the table gets a little full, we'll grab another chair. And if we run out of chairs, we'll stand up and we'll give them our chairs. There's room at the table. And I hope that as we continue to go forward, that we continue to tell people that. It may have been John Chrysostom, or I may be making that up, but there was somebody in church history that said, "Christianity is merely one beggar telling another beggar where to find food." Come to the table. Would you pray with me? God, even though officially these people do not have to accept this report, I pray that you would accept it, God. That you would accept the work of these people. That you would accept what they are doing in the community. The ways that they are extending grace and peace and love to their neighbors. That you accept their barbecues and their picnics and their conversations and their jokes as ministry to the world around them. Lord, I pray that you continue to remind us and to continue to call us to your words and to your table. That we don't do this on our own. That this isn't something that we're able to conjure up on our own or anything. But that you would continue to say, "You can find me in my word and at my table. You can continue to find me walking alongside you even when you don't realize it." God, we pray that you continue to say those things to us. Lord, we pray that you open our eyes and that you warm our hearts. That we can look back and say, oh, yeah, weren't our hearts warmed when we were walking through this? Surely Christ was with us. God, be with us in this upcoming year. As we continue to journey together, as we continue to be family with one another, as we continue to pray for one another and to support one another and to lift one another up, would you guide us, O great God? Thank you for this previous year. Thank you for the faithfulness of this small church on the beautiful coast of Maine. Thank you for the good work that they're doing. Continue to bless them as they continue to go about your work. God, I ask that you accept this prayer that we pray in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.